When Dr. Carroll begins to speak, he raises a sheet of paper in front of him and reads certain facts from it. The white sheet of paper prominent in the middle of the screen is a distraction for the eyes to lock onto in order to cause the hypnotic state of mind while information is programmed to the audience verbally. Dr. Carroll delivers his lines with a hypnotic rhythm that is punctuated by changes in pacing, volume, and tone, just like a hypnotist. He speaks with authority and looks into the camera and into the eyes of the audience. Both are hypnotic techniques. Picture yourself in a movie theater. Now imagine a huge face on the screen staring at you. The stated intent of Reefer Madness was to stamp out the menace of marijuana because it leads to, quote, acts of shocking violence ending often in incurable insanity, end quote. In contrast, young people are shown having a good time smoking marijuana, dancing, kissing, and retreating to the bedroom. By showing young people having a good time smoking marijuana, Reefer Madness encouraged young people to at least try it. By telling the story of normal kids going berserk because of marijuana, Reefer Madness scared older people into demanding that something be done. This movie was part of a well-orchestrated propaganda campaign that included newspapers, magazines, and radio. In 1937, about a year after the release of the movie, the Marijuana Tax Act was signed into law, with a major effect being to drive prices up for marijuana to make its cultivation and distribution profitable. Bertrand Russell, philosopher, educator, and atheist, wrote in his book, The Impact of Science on Society,
I think the subject which will be of most importance politically is mass psychology. Its importance has been enormously increased by the growth of modern methods of propaganda. Although this science will be diligently studied, it will be rigidly confined to the governing class. The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated.
There could be no effective propaganda without mass media. Former national editor at the Washington Post and dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California at Berkeley, Ben Bagdikian, reported in his book, The Media Monopoly, published in 1983, that 50 corporations controlled most of America's media. When the second edition of the book was published in 1988, that number shrank to 29. In the third edition, published in 1990, the number shrank further to 26. The consolidation of ownership of the press, publishing, radio, television, and film makes the coordination of propaganda possible. The primary means for controlling people is the absolute control of information. Men in power often withhold information for selfish ends. They often present false information as a diversion for the same reason. Words can inform or misinform. What people think can be controlled by controlling information. Schools are institutions commanding trust, respect, and confidence. Picture a child studying in school, reading a book. The printed words are a distraction for the eyes to lock onto. The mind focuses on the content of the book. The information being read is being programmed to the reader's mind. The child has no reason to believe that a book would intentionally contain information that was false, and so accepts it as true, even if the child does not understand it. This is especially true in school, where there is pressure to accept what is presented as true, because that is expected, and compliance determines both your grade marks and future. Repetition of the information constitutes mental programming. Thus, this information is accepted as true without thinking about it whenever it is presented again. The college textbook, Introductory Psychology, Second Edition, by Jonathan L. Friedman, published by Addison Wesley Publishing Company, contains information that is false. This textbook, used for General Psychology Course 221 at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, fall semester, 1982, says the following about brainwashing.
Some people who talk about brainwashing seem to believe that it involves extremely powerful methods that are almost irresistible. However, there is no evidence to suggest the existence of any such methods. In fact, the attempts at brainwashing we know about were not especially successful.
This is contrary to numerous documented reports, both academic and governmental, particularly official findings regarding brainwashing of POWs in Korea. There could be no effective propaganda without education. In the early 1900s, there began a dramatic shift in emphasis in American education from intellectual development to socialization. The goals of education became political and social rather than academic. This was due in large part to John Dewey, who denied the existence of God and moral absolutes. As a result, the concept of right and wrong was removed from the schools, leading to a multitude of problems witnessed today. Professor Dewey based his educational reforms on the experimental psychology developed at Leipzig University by Wilhelm Wundt. Professor Wundt believed that man had no spirit. In his view, man was only a stimulus response animal. This kind of thinking led to the principles of conditioning developed by Ivan Pavlov and behavioral psychologists John Watson and B.F. Skinner. As a result, schools became indoctrination centers designed to bring about a new social order. Education of the young is used to condition them to what comes later, thereby eliminating the difference between propaganda and education. The mind is conditioned with vast amounts of information disguised as facts and knowledge and dispensed for ulterior motives. According to the minute books of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, the Carnegie Endowment, the Ford Foundation, the Guggenheim Foundation, and the Rockefeller Foundation worked in harmony for the control of education in America. The key to their plan to bring about social change was to alter the teaching of American history. The Guggenheim Foundation agreed to provide fellowships for doctoral candidates of American history selected by the Carnegie Endowment. 20 prospective teachers were assembled and taken to London to be briefed on what was expected of them. This group of historians became the nucleus of the American Historical Association.
Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past,
wrote George Orwell. Norman Dodd, research director for the Special Committee to Investigate Tax-Exempt Foundations created by the 83rd Congress, was invited in November 1953 to meet in New York with Roman Gaither, president of the Ford Foundation. Mr. Gaither made a most revealing admission.
Mr. Dodd, we operate here under directives which emanate from the White House. The substance of the directives under which we operate is that we shall use our grant-making power to alter life in the United States so that we can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union.
In his book, Brainwashing in the High Schools, Professor E. Merrill Root examines 11 history textbooks used in the Evanston Township High School in Evanston, Illinois from 1950 to 1952. None of these textbooks makes it clear that the government of the United States is not a democracy but a republic. The Founding Fathers defined the form of government they established as a constitutional republic. Not one of these textbooks lists the word republic in its index. The essence of psychological warfare is to confuse the meaning of words and infiltrate the mind with conflicting concepts. These textbooks interpret American history primarily as a class conflict between the rich and the poor. a Marxist doctrine. A trend shared by each of the textbooks reviewed was advocacy of a world government. And these textbooks are typical of the approved history taught in schools over the past 40 years. 19th century British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli commented that the world is governed by very different people from what is imagined by those who are not behind the scenes. Political and economic power is concentrated in the hands of a ruling elite that controls the banks, large corporations, major communications media, influential foundations. In fact, their power encompasses all segments of society. Their goal is to return the world to serfdom with themselves as controllers of world affairs. Founded in 1921, the Council of Foreign Relations, located in New York City, is the American branch of a society that it originated in England and is a key link between the ruling elite and the federal government. The council has been called the establishment, the invisible government, and the Rockefeller Foreign Office. Council members have held and continue to hold key government positions. Administrations, both Democrat and Republican, may change, but the Council of Foreign Relations remains to work its will from behind the scenes. The creation of the United Nations was a council project, as well as the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. The goal of the council is the establishment of a world government. On the international level, an organization similar to the council called the Bilderbergers includes some of the world's most powerful financiers, industrialists, politicians, and intellectuals, who meet each year for a conference on world affairs to decide how things will go for the rest of us. The goal of the Bilderbergers is the establishment of a world government. World government was always the goal of communism. The Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 was a turning point in world history. However, the revolution was financed by some of the world's richest and most powerful men. The money came primarily from America and Great Britain. Communism was forced on the Russian people from outside of Russia. Soviet economic and military development has been the result of the transfer of Western technology from Western companies, allowed and encouraged by Western governments, principally the United States, Great Britain, France, Germany, and Italy. Communism was a movement created and manipulated by some of the world's most powerful and wealthy men in order to gain control of the world. While the communist world is becoming more like the West, America is going in the opposite direction. The political concepts of the United States have undergone a gradual alteration in order to promote administrative government by appointed bureaucrats rather than the constitutionally mandated representative government by elected officials. A network of organizations headquartered at what is called 1313 at the University of Chicago have been working to restructure local, state, and federal government. 1313 affiliates developed the regional framework to merge city-county government, then county district, district-state, state-region, and on to a region-international merger into a one-world government. The program of these social science organizations is a totally managed and controlled society. Centralization of government functions is a basic socialist principle. Centralization takes government away from the people. The key factor is control. The computer-based planning, programming, and budgeting system is the mechanism for that control. This system was promoted as a modern space-age method for budgeting and accounting, but it is used to achieve behavioral objectives designed to capture the decision-making process of government. Systematic management and control of society replaces self-government. The use of social engineering to control what people think makes a mockery of the informed consent of the governed, the very cornerstone of the Constitution. The conditioning of the mind is not a legitimate function of government. It is the hallmark of tyranny. The dramatic events taking place in the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe are part of a carefully orchestrated propaganda campaign designed to condition the people of the world to accept the eventual merging of East and West into a one-world superstate. A one-world government means the loss of national sovereignty for the United States. All areas of our culture have been corrupted in order to promote this program, and psychological warfare is being waged against the public to accept it, and even demand some of the changes necessary to bring about a new dark age on this planet. The plan is as old as history, with its modern manifestation having reared its ugly head in 1776 when Adam Weishaupt, professor of canon law at the University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria, founded the Order of the Illuminati, the Enlightened Ones. The goal of the Illuminati was the creation of a new world order. This was to be accomplished by infiltrating all areas of society and destroying civilization from within. The public has been deluded about the material aims of a few and the very existence of the hidden rulers who sit at the very pinnacle of power and see themselves as lords of this planet. The purpose of government is inexorably tied to the purpose of life. The sum of good government is knowledge of the purpose of life and the administration of society towards that goal. If the men in leadership positions in the world do not know the objective of life, then they are not capable of administering a peaceful society. If, however, they do know, then what we see happening in the world is the deliberate attempt to undermine the primary objective of life. The missing dimension in world politics is the spiritual dimension. The problems of life cannot be solved by material means. Modern civilization is missing the point of life. Human life is meant for understanding spiritual values. Real knowledge is knowing yourself, what you are, what God is, and understanding your relationship and duty to God. It is our duty to understand God, abide by His laws, and learn to love Him. Then all of our problems will be solved. When men are not governed by God, they will be ruled by tyrants. The material world is just like a prison. The spirit soul is imprisoned in a material body, which is imprisoned in the material world. We do not belong in this material world. We are spirit souls and belong to the spiritual world. Modern civilization is wrongly directed to the fulfillment of sense gratification, the basis of material life and a barrier to spiritual realization. The demonic believe that the enjoyment of the senses is the ultimate goal of life. However, it is not possible to become peaceful and happy in the attempt to gratify the temporary senses. The result is usually the opposite. A materialistic culture based on sense gratification agitates the mind and senses. Unless one controls the mind and senses, one cannot make any spiritual advancement. The great sages of all bona fide religions were completely free of material attachments because they knew that spirit is permanent while matter is temporary. Our present culture would have us debase ourselves and become more and more entangled in materialism so that the path to the spiritual world is blocked. The demonic wish to make this planet a closed system, where it cannot function for the purpose it was intended. The material world was created to give man the opportunity to purify himself of his material consciousness. For the aim of life is to go back home, back to God. The demonic cannot go back home until they rid themselves of their demonic mentality, and so they wish to make it impossible for anyone else to return home. This is the ultimate goal of psychological warfare, to entangle man in materialism so that he cannot return home, back to the Supreme Lord.
Mind control in America. Break it.
Mind Control in America, written and produced by Stephen Jacobson, MCIA Media, Post Office Box 15734, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27113.